Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, you might think about taking Jesus Christ as your savior instead of fooling around with all this stuff.
Ah, Jesus.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I like him very much. He no help.
You trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nick's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live, was it a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
That's all we got? One damn hit?
You can't say damn.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app at 99.5 HD2. We're about to get to here in the second hour of the show. Corey Brock covers the Mariners. He'll join us at 7:30. It's opening day in Major League Baseball. I got a Mariner thing I want to get to coming up here. But I want to start the second hour. Last night, there's really not a takeaway. The Blazers suck. They're trying to suck. They want to lose. They're not going to win a game the rest of the year, so they're going to finish with 32 wins on the season. And it hits me as I'm depressingly watching the end of this game. One of my wife's friends comes over yesterday, and it was at the point where they were down 40. And she goes, "You're still watching this?" And I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "Why?" And I go, "I don't know.
I don't have an answer for you."
And I didn't really have an answer for her. Most people didn't watch that game, or they checked out pretty quick. I get it. I might be alone here. But it hits me last night. They're down 30. They're down 35. They're down 40. They lose by 30. You know, I know we're going to stay optimistic. They're going to have a good draft pick, either one or a pick that they're going to trade.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some pieces now. Like, it seems like they're going to sign Jeremy Grant back. You drafted Shaden. You got Matisse in the trade. You're going to keep him. And you have a player like Ant that you can use as trade bait. Like, hey, this is a good player on a controlled contract. He's 23. Those are optimistic things to see.
Mm-hmm.
What's not optimistic is the reality is that your organization is 32 wins in. Your coach has shown zero positive qualities outside of the players like him. And he seemingly gives the same quote every single night. And here you are back-to-back years tanking the end of your season. And at the end of this game, Sacramento Kings fans who filled the Moda Center last night were caught chanting, "Light the beam, light the beam." That's at our arena. That's not in Sacramento. That's at the Moda Center.
Good for Kings fans.
And it hit me that, you know, in 2005 and 2006, Rick Adelman was coaching the Kings. They won 44 games. Now, they lost in the first round that year.
It was Mike Bibby, Ron Artest.
But if you would have told, and Adelman, by the way, after that season was fired, if you would have told Kings fans they were going to go 16 years, not only until they made the playoffs again, Dirt, but until they won at least 40 games or more,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they would have believed you. And they won 33 the next year with Eric Musselman. He was an absolute disaster. They then brought in Reggie Theus. That was another disaster. They won 38 games. That was their back-to-back seasons after being dumped in the first round. Portland's going to have something of like that after they lost to Denver. Sub-40 wins, no playoffs. Sub-40 wins, no playoffs. And almost as a Monstar Space Jam-like effect, I was wondering, is it possible we have become the Kings and we just don't see it yet?
No. I'm not quite ready for that yet. I understand the fear there, and I get the frustration from fans on a night-in and night-out basis. I think I'm able to take a different approach to this, because by the time you get to this point in the season, like, I'm totally unplugged. I don't watch. I don't – like, there's nothing that I'm going to glean from watching a Kings game on a Wednesday night in which there's, like, two NBA players on the court for Portland. And I think people who are plugged in, who are still going to games, who are still suffering through four quarters of this, like, every time you watch it, it's just like a depressing movie over and over and over again. And nothing's going to change. Like, this team's going to lose by hopefully 30 points in all their final remaining games. And it is incredibly depressing. I don't want to, though, take 2 years of things bottoming out and say that means that it's now going to be, what did the King streak get to?
16.
16, like,
16 years.
We're 14 years away from that happen. Now, I'm not saying it couldn't happen. Of course it could happen. But that, I mean, you got to think, like, if that ends up taking place, I'm going to be 47 by the time the Blazers make the playoffs again. And yes, at that point, I will share every ounce of depression and anger and frustration that a lot of fans have. I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture here for you. The ownership situation sucks. We don't really know about the GM. He's only been on the job for 1 year. The head coach, I don't really know what he's good at. Damian Lillard's getting up there in years, doesn't fit with Ant. Like, there are a lot of realistic fears and concerns that you can have.
Sure.
But for me, what keeps me going, and I've said this a million times, but I'm going to say it again. There was a listener who tweeted out, and you retweeted it, and that's how I saw it the other night. The lottery party the night that the Blazers found out they had the number one overall pick. And it was from a live watch party. Mike and Mike were there broadcasting. Wheels was there. Yep. It's this packed house, right? Mm-hmm. This packed house at this bar, and it's a live video feed of the entire place going nuts at the 8th pick, the 7th pick, the 6th pick. Like, everyone that you go down, that Portland doesn't show up, this huge celebration taking place.
Yeah.
Like, that's what keeps me going, because I genuinely believe. Now, there is the fear that you turn into the Sacramento Kings who bottom out and you never get out of the ditch for 16 years. It takes a long time. But I firmly believe in the NBA. If you want to take the next step as a franchise, especially in a market like Portland, this is the only way to do it. Again, it's not a guarantee that it's going to work. You might end up with the 8th overall pick in this draft, and it's not that great of an asset. And here we go again. It didn't work out for you. You might end up with a 2nd overall pick. You might get the 1st overall pick. But if Portland ever wants to climb out of this, you know, irrelevancy and be a difference maker, this is what it's going to take. You're going to have to get lucky in the draft or have a year where the ping pong ball bounces your way and you get the number one overall pick.
But, I mean, you'd agree that it while saying they're going to go 16 years, like, I guess I'm not trying to say that per se. It's more the you can bottom out, and it's probably the right approach given the circumstance, but just as rosy a picture I can paint this offseason, I can paint an equally awful one.
Of course you can.
You get the 8th pick.
Yeah.
No team's really that interested in the 8th pick that has a true difference maker.
It was a problem last year. They got 7, and it wasn't as good of an asset as they were hoping.
You have to make the pick because there's no trade partner. And now you're running it back, and I'm sorry. If I'm here, but, like, if he sees that, I wouldn't blame him for seeing that and go, oh, we're not going to be much different.
Yeah.
And if there's any indication that's happening, we don't know what Jeremy's going to do. Like, there is a way this snowballs the opposite way. I'm choosing to stay optimistic despite what I'm doing in the segment. But, like, I'm watching the Kings last night, and it just really hit me. It's one thing to watch a team clinch. It's another to watch a team that hadn't done this, and they've been so bad at this, snap that streak in your building as their fans are chanting "light the beam" and your fans are barely showing up to the games.
Yeah, they're not attending.
They shouldn't. I don't blame them for not. You mentioned your brother went, and I question that, but then you go, well, it's spring break, and it's like, that's a good point.
Yeah, if you got kids, I get it.
But there is another part of me that's like, why are we giving this team any money? This team should be paying us to go to the games.
They should. They should be giving away free beer. I've seen a lot of season ticket holders, too, say that they just asked for renewals like 2.5 weeks ago.
And I think their prices are increased.
They raised the price, yeah. And then after season ticket renewals came about, then they bottomed out and sat everybody, and now here you go. You're not going to see anybody play the rest of the year.
And that's not going to sit well with people,
and
man.
It shouldn't, man. I'm not a season ticket holder, so maybe that's why I'm not as attached to it. Like, if I was a season ticket holder, maybe my anger would be a lot higher. Here's the thing for me, though, and again, I don't know how this offseason is going to go. In your negative negative, but the fearful direction that this could
take. That's what it was.
It undoubtedly.
Was on the couch, I don't want to become the Kings, where we think it's so easy to snap out of this.
Sure.
But man, a couple bad moves or a couple things don't go your way, and you're right back into the bottom of it.
If you ended up with the eighth overall pick, you're probably going to have to trade the New York pick to Chicago to make good on that first round pick.
That's your 5 second rounders, or whatever they're willing to take.
Right. Yeah. If they're not willing to take the 5 second rounders, you got that secondary first round pick that you can get rid of, and that problem is now lifted from your shoulders. But if you're unable to make one of these all-in kind of moves, which I want to state for the record, I want them to do. I want them to put Sharp, Ant, and the two first round picks on the market. Let's see what we can do to help Damian Lillard. He's owed it. If you try that, though, and there's not a Jaylen Brown or any of these kind of elite players that come about, and you say, hey, we got to draft with the seventh, eighth, whatever pick we end up, and you end up moving Lillard, it's going to be incredibly depressing and really sad in the moment when it happens. But part of me will be relieved because it'll at least be a turning of a chapter. It'll be a new era of Blazer basketball that you're not 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Like an example that I would use for all the fear about Sacramento and what they went through for 16 years. And again, we don't know how the next 3 to 5 years are going to go. I would say people in Oklahoma City are pretty excited about the direction they're going. They bottomed out. You know, Kevin Durant gone, leaves in free agency. You trade Russell Westbrook. You trade Paul George. Yes, they have 8,000 draft picks, and eventually they're going to have to turn it into a winner. They're currently in the playoffs. They might make it. They might not. Dallas is a game behind them in the 10 seed, and they might lose in the play-in and not make the playoffs. But I would say right now, if you're an OKC, you're like, dude, we got some pretty good young players. Chet Holmgren didn't even play this year. We got how many more first-round picks that we can build with? Like, there's at least a sense of optimism about the direction you're going. And again, nobody knows where it's going to be in 5 years. It might not work out. They might flame out. Maybe Shai Gilgeous isn't the dude or whatever. Chet can't stay healthy. But at least for them, I would argue there's far more optimism in Oklahoma City right now than there is in Portland.
Fingers crossed we're not the Kings.
Just fingers crossed it doesn't turn into a 16-year drought.
Coming up next, we got Corey Brock at the bottom of the hour. But something that I've noticed that I want to talk about with you guys, it's opening day in Major League Baseball, and this keeps getting my attention. I'll tell you what it is next, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Corey Brock will join us at the bottom of the hour. Preview the Mariners season. Some expectations coming in. An hour from then, we'll have Swag's nephew, Jace Swigard, will be in studio picking his college of choice to go play college football.
Yep. He spent most of February going on his official visits.
All right. Bama, Oregon, Oregon State.
Yeah, something like that.
Auburn. I think those are kind of in the running, but I'm not sure they're going to be able to beat some of the other schools that are
SC. I know he had a trip to Southern California somewhere down there for school.
Okay, all right. Trojans and Lincoln Riley. So we'll have him in studio to make the announcement. Fun baseball stat before I get to the segment I want to get to. Greg Maddux in his career had 355 wins.
Yes.
He had only 133 unintentional 3-0 counts.
Greg, I feel like Greg Maddux and Tony Gwynn are the most underrated crazy stat people.
I actually think for my money, they're the two players that have the greatest factoid stats in baseball history.
Yeah, you do like the Tony Gwynn could strike out for 7,000 straight plate appearances or whatever it is, and he'd still have fewer than a lot of the big name hitters
this time of year. He never struck out.
No, he didn't.
It was fantastic.
But, you know, it's opening day in baseball, and so we're going to give it a little attention today because this is Hope Springs Eternal.
That it does.
You know, before we get to Corey, you know what I've noticed the last couple weeks as baseball gets closer and closer to ramping up and first pitch gets underway? I was thinking about this last night. Outside of Ohtani and Harper, is Julio potentially the third biggest? Well, and Judge. I guess I forgot.
Yeah, Judge.
Judge Ohtani and Harper. Is Julio in the top five of faces and names in Major League Baseball, given what he did coming onto the scene last year, given the Mariners snapped their playoff drought, and given the fact that he is kind of becoming one of the faces? He's on Sports Illustrated Season Preview magazine.
Yep.
And I know that doesn't resonate with everybody anymore. That used to be a big deal.
That was a huge deal.
And I think he's already vaulted his way to the top of baseball.
I think he's right there with Juan Soto. And it'll be interesting to see now that Soto's
Juan Soto still has, like, I'm talking not you. I'm casual baseball fan at best.
See, now how does the casual baseball fan know Julio Rodriguez more than they do Juan, or the casual sports fan know Julio more than they do Juan Soto?
Well, he put on a show, more relevant home run derby.
Juan Soto has put on a show every year he's been in a home run derby.
That's why I say I think
he's won a World Series.
I think those two are right there. There's certainly more. I think when you get to Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer and those sorts of guys, longtime starting pitchers, but as in terms of like the next face, like the up and coming, I don't know who's there with him.
I mean, he's in the crop of the great young players that is going to become one of the faces of Major League Baseball.
And he certainly has embraced it. He is engaging. Yeah. He understands. He's not afraid of the media. He's not. So he will, as he is given a bigger spotlight, he will adapt to it. He'll accept it. He'll be out there. So if the Mariners can be relevant as a team as long as he's there,
they should be,
then yeah, he'll continue to get a big stage to work on.
Yeah, I think we're also a little in the Julio bubble where it's like close to us and it's something that we watch and pay attention to. I'm not saying that people in like Boston and New York don't know who Julio Rodriguez is, but I think he's a bigger deal in the Northwest just because it's in our backyard. And he was a ton of fun to watch. And when you look at the rule changes and guys that could be impacted by it, I know you've mentioned Acuna in Atlanta, who's a great one. I think Trey Turner could steal 100 bases this year. Julio Rodriguez is a guy that has incredible speed, and you can now become that power speed combo that used to be a regular thing in baseball. Like 40-40 used to be one of those benchmarks if you got to it. That was insane, and you didn't see it a ton, but having the ability to hit 40 bombs and steal 40 plus bases is undoubtedly in Julio Rodriguez's future. I think the only challenge for him is, can you continue to improve and can you keep it up? Because you have set the bar and the expectations so high after 1 year. The home run derby performance and helping the Mariners get to the playoffs. And you mentioned he's on the face of all these magazines. Like now comes the serious pressure. You've signed the contract. Now you got to become the face of the franchise and a guy that's going to carry a team year in and year out. And I'm excited to see how he handles that.
Well, yeah, I think that's what I'm looking forward to is not only the follow-up season to the home run derby performance, the snapping of the Mariners playoff drought, but like, baseball we know is not a one player sport.
No, it is not.
And so if their ducks are in a row in Seattle, like this is the year to kind of pop, right? They haven't had a player like this since, well, I know Ichiro was really popular, obviously internationally as well, but like in terms of the charisma and the cool factor, like I feel like this is their first one since Griffey.
Yeah.
Position player. Felix had a little bit of that.
He did. I mean, young A-Rod.
It was different.
Was well thought of, but he was there at the same time as Griffey.
What
so.
Sucked for Felix was just...
His team sucked.
Yeah, everything around him was so
but,
bad.
But, I mean, you had the King's Court. Like, when he pitched, there was, like, seven sections down the left field line that were all there watching him.
It was, like, the only people at the games were in the
Pretty
King's
much.
Court. Yeah.
But the tough part now, too, like, on the expectation front. Like, I like bringing this up because I think a big way in how we view a season is what did we expect going into the year? Like, use Oregon and Oregon State last year as an an example. The ending of the season, incredibly disappointing for Duck fans, right? Oregon and Oregon State ended up with the same records last year, with 10 wins. Did Oregon State get to 11? Or were they 9?
No, they got 10.
10 was the bowl game was 10.
9-3 and then 10
So
wins,
it both ended up 10-3, but one felt a little bit different about the 10-3, did they not? Because of the expectations going into the year. For the Mariners, that's now the challenge. Like, you had the bar to cross where getting to the playoffs was your World Series. Because it had been so long, it had been 20-plus years since you've been there. You've now crossed that bar. And I think as a fan, with the roster and the talent that you have, like, just getting there is not going to be as satisfying. This, if you go and you bow out in four games in the divisional round again, you're not going to be as satisfied this year as you were last year. There are new expectations in Seattle.
Well, I sat in center field last year when the Braves came to town, and I was one of the lone Braves fans in my section. And I can tell you, when he comes out to his position after the Mariners have an at-bat, the whole section gets on their feet, and it's a combination of kids and dudes tripping over themselves for the ball. Julio! Julio, please! And ladies screaming like...
He's a good-looking cat, man.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, this guy, I don't know what his relationship status, but he has got to be cleaning up in Seattle.
He's living large.
The ladies go crazy for Julio Rodriguez. He kind of has both ability, right? He's good-looking, and he's amazing. I guess I would be more curious about this because you shot down what I threw out pretty quickly, and history would actually be on your side here. I'm not good at figuring out who resonates nationally in any sport.
I mean, I would say Judge, Trout, Mookie Betts, like Ohtani.
But
like,
we did this in basketball when we did the Westbrook or Anthony Davis when he was a Pelican, and you shot this back at me, and I was like, "What?" And everybody agreed with you. I'm not great at this stuff, so maybe I am in the Northwest bubble here. Yeah. But the difference could be for him. Can he break through and transcend despite the team's lack or given success?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the one thing I'd say about Juan Soto. Amazing young player. He's got a ring. He's got, you know, home run derby performances. The reason I asked this, and I put a poll question up, who's more popular? I just don't think people talk about Juan Soto outside of, like, MLB's national shows, right? Unless you're a diehard baseball fan, do they talk about him? Is he on SportsCenter? Is he on, you know, the radio shows or podcasts? I think diehards would say yes, but Julio feels like last year was just such a bump for him that I'm wondering, can he break through? The Mariners have a disappointing season. Can he be Ohtani-esque in terms of give production, break through, and make people speculate whether you should be traded or not?
Yeah, I see the larger point, and I think Juan Soto was in the news a lot last year, but it was only because he was traded. And was he going to get traded? Did he, you know, are they going to sign him to a contract extension after you trade him?
Right, right.
Like, he was in the news a lot, but it was only surrounding really that.
Yeah.
The tough part for Juan Soto really has been the last two and a half years.
Yeah.
His performance has not been what it was. Like, he was the wonder kid that came up, and it was like, oh my, it's like a 19-year-old dominating baseball, and he won a World Series. Like, this dude's going to be the biggest star, and he's going to sign the largest contract because he's going to hit free agency by the time he hits 25. Like, he was that kid. And the last, I mean, he's still a very incredibly talented player. Don't get me wrong. The tough part for him is the last 2 years have not lived up to that level of expectation. Mm-hmm. And that's why I brought that up with Julio. Like, when you have the kind of rookie year that he did, if he comes out and hits 268 for 21 home runs and 84 RBIs, like, as a rookie, that's great. Hey, you did that as a teenage kid. That's amazing. Now you've set the bar. You've set the expectation. And that's where Juan Soto, I think, hasn't quite lived up to it. But I, for anything like of national media not talking about Juan Soto, I would say the same about Julio, though. Like, I think if you're nationwide looking at the pulse of baseball players that get discussed, I don't think Julio gets brought up as much, maybe as he even should be.
He is on the face of the magazine.
He is on the favorite.
Everybody has magazine subscriptions.
Everybody's buying magazines, man. I honestly didn't even know that until you told me.
Oh, you didn't?
I did not. I did not see the magazine.
When it happens, it's still a big deal for the fan base of that team.
Oh, of course it is, yeah.
But, like, when it doesn't happen, you forget it exists.
I have no clue.
Like, oh, yeah, there's magazines.
Oh, look at that magazine.
Let's talk more about the Mariners, their expectations, building off of a playoff season, their roster, and Julio as well. Corey Brock of The Athletic joins us next for the Daily Ticker.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Thursday, the only meaningful place to go today. Is it his opening day? Let's go up to Seattle. Happy opening day to everybody who observes the holiday. And joining us now is our good friend Corey Brock of The Athletic, at Corey Brock MLB on Twitter. Corey, good morning to you. Happy opening day to you. I want to start. We were just talking about the Mariners this upcoming year and how it's kind of like it's different when you go into a year with expectations. Like, we had a listener that texted in, said, I'm scared. Like, I can't get to the point of expecting them to make the playoffs. I can't get 20 years of pain out of my mind. How do you think the Mariners are ready to handle expectations going into a year?
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot, guys. And yeah, it's completely a different scenario than anything that we've faced in a while. You can make a case that this is maybe the most highly anticipated Mariners season in franchise history, and we're talking going all the way back to 1977. So certainly heightened expectations after last year and the way that it ended, the wild card series victory over the Jays, and then really playing the Astros really tough in that three-game series, a lot tougher than the Yankees did in the series after that. So I think the team's in good shape. They have a lot of pitching depth, which you're going to need, and I think fans are really fired up, and I think they've sort of won the city back.
You know, Corey, I liked your article. You did kind of a season preview, predictions, et cetera, and I loved the bold prediction. We were just talking about how the new rules of baseball might open things up for 30-30 things or 40-40 things, depending on the player. I like that you say Julio's going to join the 30-30 club. We were talking about him and expectations coming into the year, because it's not just the team, it's him. He's on the face of SI. Like, he's getting a lot of attention now. How do you think he's handled it through the spring, and how are you feeling about what he's ultimately, what do you think he's going to be this year?
Yeah, and I think the sky's the limit with this kid, and I know that's kind of a tired cliche, but, you know, he just turned 22 at the end of December. This guy's probably nowhere near his ceiling. I don't even know what that looks like, but, you know, I've known Julio since he was 18. I met him at the complex in Arizona, his first fall stateside, and he is every bit the guy that he was then, outgoing, gregarious, happy, jovial, whatever you want to say. And actually, you know, very genuine. And I think he's remained that way despite his world changing, you know, dramatically in the last year, including the size of his wallet, right? Yeah, with these endorsement deals and certainly the fame that comes with having being the face of the franchise and coming off such a big year. But yeah, I'm just excited to see what he could do. And you know, if I'm Scott Service, I bat this guy lead off. I just leave him there and just let him go.
I mean, let's talk about the other guy who he was always kind of connected to because they were the future of the franchise, Jared Kelenic, who, I feel like every couple of months I'm seeing something about a swing change and we're adjusting this. Like, he came out, had a pretty damn good spring training this year, Corey. Is this the year that Kelenic puts it together? What are the Mariners expecting from him?
Yeah, and I wrote about this today just because I found his career arc to be so interesting. And, you know, for every one of Julio Rodriguez, who shows up in the big leagues and is an instant hit right away, there are scores upon scores of guys who, you know, it takes a while for them to figure things out. Maybe they don't, but development's not linear. You know, it happens at different times for different guys. But I think Kelenic's in a really good place. As you mentioned, he made some swing changes. I think he's in a good headspace. I think he's been humbled by the game. Look, this guy was an uber prospect when he was drafted by the Mets, and the Mariners made that big trade to get him from New York, and some ups and downs, mostly a lot of downs. But I just think maybe he sort of found himself. And as he told me the other day in Arizona, he says he thinks he's in the right place.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what Robbie Ray is going to be this year and excited to see what Luis Castillo is going to be. I got a futures ticket on the Mariners to win the AL West. I liked the juicy odds they give me. The Astros are pretty heavily favored in that division. What say you with the pitching of the Seattle Mariners and everything they addressed this offseason in that regard?
I just think, here's the thing, guys. If you don't have pitching, you don't have a chance. And we've seen in past years where the Mariners, you know, like you get a few guys dinged. And over the course of a six-month season, 162 games, like, stuff happens. Well, nothing happened last year. That was an outlier. They were extremely fortunate. And they'll tell you that they kept all those guys healthy. And so you can't count on that. So what you have to do is you have to build enough depth to cover injuries, underperformance, and all that. And I think hanging on to Chris Flexen was a really smart move for them. Mm-hmm. So that gives them six good starters at the big league level and then some guys in the minor leagues who are on their way. So, and then that bullpen is really good too. You have a lot of guys back there that can miss a lot of bats, and that's what you want late in the game. So I think that they've done a very nice job of setting up their pitching, and they're going to need every one of these guys.
Yeah, we're talking with Corey Brock at The Athletic, covers the Seattle Mariners, at Corey Brock MLB on Twitter. Go give him a follow. The latest piece is about Julio Rodriguez and the big year that he has likely coming. And on that note, I mean, you mentioned, you know, Julio kind of taking advantage of the new rules, and I think that's the exciting thing this year, Corey, is just how these new rules are going to impact the game throughout the season, how quick games are going to go. Like, it's like an overarching storyline around every team, and I think fans are excited about it. Are there anybody else on the roster that you hear talking about, hey, the shift is gone, now my batting average is going to go up 30 points, or hey, the bigger bases and the pickoff rules, now I'm going to be able to steal an extra 20-30 bases? Anybody outside of Julio that you see having a big impact because of these rule changes?
Well, I'll tell you what, the sports writers are pretty happy about the pitch clock and about games being 25 minutes shorter. But aside from that, I think, yeah, you're going to see a lot of impact. I think you're going to see guys run a lot more. And the stolen base has really kind of gone the way of the dinosaur in the game of baseball. Remember the old days, Ricky Henderson, Vince mm-hmm. Coleman? It was such a big thing. And now you got guys leading the league in steals with like 30, which is, it just seems so ridiculous. But I think the guys that's really going to help, the shift band's going to help those left-handed pull hitters. And that's, you know, that's Jared Kelenic and that's Cal Raleigh. I think that these guys are going to see a little bit of a spike. I don't know what that looks like in terms of their batting average and all that, because they're able to pull balls through that right side and not have to worry about the shortstop overloading that side over there with three infielders. So, yeah, I think at the end of the year, we'll take a look at this. And I think fans, the skeptical ones, especially the ones about the pitch clock, like, oh, it's, you know, this isn't baseball. I think everybody will understand at the end of the year. And if you talk to any of your friends out at the Hillsboro Hops or any of these minor league affiliates, they will tell you this is the most wonderful thing ever. They've been doing it for a couple of years, and nothing gets sacrificed with this pitch clock. It's just you eliminate a lot of the nonsense and you just get a better product.
You know, Corey, my favorite thing in any sports league is when the sports fans watching television and they go, oh, so-and-so's on this team. And I think if you don't follow the Mariners, there's going to be a lot of those moments when people see, oh, Colton Wong's a Mariner? I had no clue.
And when you take a step as a young team to the playoffs and you're trying to build off of that, do you think it's pretty vital to add guys like Colton Wong? He's not just a good player. He's got World Series experience. It's like this kid has played at the highest level in this league, and what he kind of adds to their locker room.
Absolutely. And, there, you know, there's really no way to quantify that, but you're exactly right. I know there's a positive effect in that room. And then adding a guy like Teoscar Hernandez, who's played in the postseason. Geez, the last time we saw him in a real game, he hit two home runs off Robbie Ray in that second game of the wild card series. This guy's a real dude. So, yeah, I think there's tangible benefits that you see on the field and what they could do to help the team. And then there's other stuff in the clubhouse that no one else is really privy to. But I think it all adds up to like a really good mix. And they use the term culture over there a lot. And, you know, I think there's a lot of value in that. And I think their culture has probably never been better.
Yeah, we always focus on the big names and where did this guy sign a $500 million contract? And you forget sometimes it's about the key point you brought up, depth and not having line, you know, holes in your lineup or holes in your rotation, even if not all of them are top of the game arms or bats. Let's get the thoughts, Corey. Opening day is here. Everybody's excited. Baseball's back, baby. Mariners, how far do they go? Do they win the division? What's the season look like in Corey Brock's mind?
Well, I know you guys already put money on the over, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Come on. I love that number, and I think they're going to win the division this year. Everybody's loving the Astros too much. They're going to be humbled a little bit, and the Mariners are going to take the step.
Well, you know, they're not – I think we could all agree they're not going to finish 16 games behind the Astros like they did last year. So the Astros are a little bit more vulnerable. You know, it's still their division until it's not. But I think, you know, I think the Mariners win 90 games. I think they get in. You know, either most likely as a wild card, which is fine. I mean, it's just, it's all about getting in. And I think we understand the value of that after last season. So I'm going 90 wins. I'm going playoffs. And then once you get in, just ride that pitching as long as you can.
Yeah, especially now with no more one game wild card playoff work at all. 163 could end your entire season. It's not as painful to be a wild card anymore.
Yeah, I'm glad they got rid of that. And I will tell you, those two games in Toronto last year, maybe some of the best baseball I've seen in person in a long time. That was a really, really fun series. And like I said, I think baseball's back in Seattle finally, and I think this is a good thing. And for the whole region, really.
Corey, I know you're more down here, but like when you go up there, I guess I'd ask you, because I'm trying to think last time maybe it happened, is Julio the biggest name or the biggest face or most popular face in Seattle right now?
Boy, that's a great question, especially with the, you know, I guess you could have made a case for Russell Wilson. Now he's gone.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, I would say, and maybe even unequivocally, you know, like, not just the face of the franchise, face of the city. And, you know, he is a guy that people know about all throughout the country now. And I think, you know what, the moment that really landed him in the spotlight is when he hit those 81 home runs in that home run derby last year and somehow still lost, which is the most ridiculous thing. But I think, there's no more secrets anymore with this guy. But, I think he is beloved in Seattle, and I think that reach is growing and growing by the day.
They can forget about these West Coast athletes from time to time because the games are going on while everybody on the East Coast is asleep. And then, as you point out, you get that moment in the home run derby. Everybody pays, hey, who's this cat for Seattle? He's pretty good. Corey Brock, he covers the Mariners for The Athletic. Give him a follow on Twitter at Corey Brock MLB. Happy opening day, Corey. We always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on. Have fun covering opening day tonight, and hopefully we can catch up again here soon.
Yeah, look forward to it, guys. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Corey Brock of The Athletic. Yeah, I mean, you look at Seattle right now.
Usually it's a football player, but...
Yeah, who's more popular than him on the Seahawks right now?
Maybe DK? Is DK...
Yeah.
You know, DK is amazing, but...
He's a great player.
Hmm.
If Russ never got traded, it would have still been Russ.
Yeah,
just
Russ
of the
probably,
Super Bowl.
Yeah, had a run there, Richard Sherman, whoever, but like...
Yeah, now that it's kind of a new-look team. I know Wagner's back, but kind of a new-look team up there. Has to be Julio.
I'm almost curious who the top three are. Like, it's probably two Mariners and a Seahawks or two Seahawks and a Mariner, but, like...
What order
does
and how
Penix,
do they go?
Does Penix resonate? I know there's some Cougs that live in Seattle, but...
I don't know.
He's going to have... he has got Heisman odds, and they also won 10 games, and... I don't know. I always like those kind of questions. Who's the face of the city, right?
Well, I got a few more baseball notes I want to get to. It is opening day. We'll make our, I got to write them down in ink on the opening day predictions. Who's winning the World Series? We'll give you our thoughts on how the season's going to go. Get to some football stuff in the final hour, including a college football commitment coming up at 8:30. Back after this on the fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I got a couple more NFL notes from the week I want to get to. One is great news. One is, I don't know how I feel about that news. College football news and notes as well. Might save some of those for tomorrow. I've been teasing them all week. But you know, you kind of want to be in a good mood when you're talking college football. And we got a number of things to get into in the college football world.
You're not in a good mood?
I mean, I am in a good mood, but Fridays are always a better mood than Thursdays.
Okay.
You know, you're just kind of feeling good. You're going to the weekend.
Yeah.
All that's happening tomorrow is the Final Four. I don't think, you know, it's going to be... Exactly. So maybe we'll save for tomorrow. We'll see how the final hour goes.
I started the week off, who isn't excited for this Final Four? And by Friday, I'm like, man.
Then you remember it's college basketball. One of these games is going to be 51-47. Oh, and they're going to shoot a combined 28%. And Jace Swigard coming up at 8:30. He is making his college football commitment live on the show. The first time we have ever had a college football commitment live on the show.
Yeah, and Swag has this, like, he's got this weird thing where he's, like, jealous of his brother.
And I was mocked for saying that Cooper Manning is jealous of the other brothers, and this continues to come up.
Yeah, there's two employees of Odyssey that I know of that have randomly been like, yeah, my brothers are so much bigger and athletic than I was.
Who's the other one?
I don't want to name names.
Oh, okay. No, don't want to name names.
No, I don't want to name names, but there's somebody more on the outer parts of the on-air stuff. But I find that a lot, because, like, I've never had that with my brothers. We're all built different. We're all different people. I don't have that at all.
My brother has much better metabolism than I do.
But, like, are you telling everybody about it all the time?
Because no.
Swag does like to tell us, he's like 6'4". And I don't know how to get that genetic.
I'm expecting a monster to walk in.
I am too. I'm like, I'm expecting...
His head's going to scrape the ceiling as he walks into the studio.
Hey, how you doing?
He's a 7-footer. Anybody want a peanut?
I'm Bob Swigard. I was perfect.
Yeah, I do. You know, I guess my brother's metabolism does make me jealous because he eats like a hobo that just shovels food into his mouth.
Sure.
And will never gain, like, never gain a pound.
Mm.
And I don't know how it works.
Is he taller than you? Are you guys about the same height?
No, we're about the same height.
Would the taller thing bother you like it bothers him?
Yeah, probably.
It would?
Probably.
Hmm.
If I'm my same height,
yeah,
and let's give him an extra, like he gets up to like 6'2 or something, yeah, that would rub me the wrong way. That would really grind my gears.
Because you'd be like, I'd go pro if I was your height.
Would have been D1. Would have been D1. So, yeah, Swag is very sensitive about his brother's height, so we get to meet the Swigards coming up in a bit. We need to make our World Series ALCS, NLCS predictions. We do it in every sport. I still have our picks from last year's football season written down. I have our picks from Blazer season written down, and I'm going to end up in last in that category. How are we feeling, boys? Are you picking your teams? Are you going outside the box?
No, I'm not.
No, okay, not picking the Dodgers?
Oh, my God.
Now he's going like reverse psychology, reverse jinx kind of thing.
Hasn't
on
even
us.
Played a game, and he's already hates his team. Like, unbelievable.
No, so who do we like?
They'll be in the wild card. Where do you want to start?
NLCS, ALCS, World Series. Fire away.
Okay.
Not doing all division winners. We're not doing that.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, are you doing division winners?
No.
Here?
Just who's your NLCS, ALCS matchup, and who is your World Series winner?
The NLCS, Phillies and Padres.
Okay.
The Phillies go into the World Series.
So same as last year?
Yeah. Okay. I think Phillies are, they had a great offseason.
Got to get Harper back at some point. Tommy John surgery. He's going to miss a good chunk of the year.
American League. Ooh, ALCS.
The American League is tricky.
American League is tricky. I'm not buying the Astros as much this year. I think the Yankees will be there.
Oh, God.
I know.
Please, Lord, don't let that happen.
I don't know who else I like.
Boy, this is really stumping.
Riveting radio. This is riveting awesome radio. Right,
you're just sitting here. Well, you're in the middle of your picks. I can't just jump it in the middle of the picks.
All right, who do you like? Who do you like, Sprague?
I'm taking the Bravos. Shocking. I know.
Wow.
Bravos, Cardinals, NLCS.
I'm assuming you're having your team winning.
You're damn right I am. And I'm going to take Mariners and Rays in the ALCS.
Okay, who's winning that series?
I had the Seattle Mariners winning the ALCS.
Over the Tampa Bay Rays. The ratings bonanza that ALCS would be Seattle and Tampa.
And Atlanta sweeping the Seattle Mariners right the hell out of the World Series. Get you one of these.
I think I'm going to go with an AL East matchup in the ALCS, Blue Jays and Yankees.
Okay.
And
Blue Jays would be a fun little team.
Blue Jays are a fun little bet right now.
And then Yankees-Phillies World Series with the Phillies winning.
Oh, God.
A rematch of 2009, but a different result.
Yeah.
I already told you, I like the Cardinals. They're kind of my sleeper bet this year. So I have the Cardinals to win the World Series. I'm going to take them to beat the Braves in the NLCS.
Oh, we're going same but reverse.
We're going same but reverse. And I also have the Mariners winning the American League this year. I have them beating the Yankees in the ALCS.
Hell yeah, brother.
And the Cardinals beating the Mariners in the World Series.
The Farm League team finally gets revenge on the Yankees, huh?
You're damn right they do.
All those years of poaching the talent.
We're going to finally pay them back.
There we go.
Send in your World Series predictions. We'd love to hear them. 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. Send them on in, and happy opening day, everybody. Let's get back into some football. Jay Swigard coming up, bottom of the hour. A couple of notes out of the NFL, though. One thing was a sigh of relief reaction to me. The other one is, why are we doing this? And we're going to start there to kick off the final hour next on 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.